Lord, just thank you for Alistair. Thank you that he's a faithful servant of yours, that he loves you, and we just ask that the love he has for you will be evident to us as we listen today. Just help us to concentrate and to apply what we hear to our lives. It's pointless listening from you if we do not have love and we cannot apply what you teach us. So I just ask that you'll be with him, bless him, and help us all.
Amen. So I want to talk about three or four things today, really. And I guess for me, it's been an incredibly profound season. Let me just try and get this iPad working. Yeah. It's been a very profound season for me in my walk with Christ. And I've seen, personally, walking into some stuff that I've been praying for many, 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 many years. And suddenly it's all kind of clicked. And it's out of that that I really want to speak, because I think, really, we're here to be Jesus' hands and feet. And all I want to do in my life is be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever I go. Just be Jesus wherever I go, and just try and, in some way, capture what he's about. You see, if this virus of Jesus is going to really impact our nation, three things have to happen. First of all, you have to catch the virus. And you have to catch it so intensely, so deeply, so profoundly, that nothing else really matters. And it saturates you. It saturates every cell in your body. And then secondly, the thing you need to do is you need to go and find a load of other saturated people who are just saturated with Jesus. Preparing today, sitting in my garden, freezing cold, so I get claps of being brave, sit in my chair, little plane goes up over as it has done hundreds and hundreds of times with a glider behind it. Little plane chugs off, goes into the sky, appears a lot of hard work, then all of a sudden the glider gets released and grace and beauty come. How many gliders have you released recently? There are a whole people out there that just want to be gliders. They just want to know the Christ and be the Christ and follow the Christ. And some don't even really understand that they know the Christ already and that many of their values are around the Christ. They just need to be taken up to that higher place. And when they can get there above their troubles, above their conflicts, when they can live in an organized and rationalized way, through living in a biblical way, they can release something which is absolutely supernatural. Let me read this to you. This is Richard Branson, Bishop Branson, I'm going to call him for this talk, which may surprise you. When you're looking at the beauty of nature from a hot air balloon or dealing with some issues of justice, does it bring you closer to the concerns of religion? Oh yes, when it comes to morality, I think I'm 100% in line with the teachings of Christ. Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela are the best examples of forgiveness on earth. They've forgiven people who sinned against their people in the most graceful way through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The way they've reunited the country is remarkable. Now listen to this. I've caught people red-handed stealing from Virgin. I've called them in, I've sat them down, and they've expected me to sack them. And I've said this to them: you've messed up big time, but I'm going to give you another chance. Please do not do it again. And they've gone on to be some of the best employers I've ever had. That's forgiveness. So man's walking in forgiveness, but hasn't yet got to a place where he's really found the Christ. And there are loads and loads of people out there who are just like that. I'm working with Oasis at the moment. And what we're doing is we're setting schools up all over the country. And we have about 40 schools at the moment in inner cities. And what the basic vision is, very simple, is we will go into inner city and we will plant a community, in effect, a hub. And that hub will look like the early Celtic church. It will have a church in it, it will have a school in it, it will have a hospital in it, and it will also encourage commerce. At the heart of that is an expression of Jesus Christ. We are seeing student after student come to Christ. You can get excited if you like. 40 schools. Glenn Denham, one of my great mates, who's become a really good mate through all this. Glenn Denham is 6'4". He's a basketball player from New Zealand, right? Big Maori boy, right? Massive Maori boy. He tells me this story like this. I go in and I'm trying to help him articulate his vision, his values, and where he's going to take the academy. And he sits me down and I said, so how's the term being, Glenn? Because we've just got to a real level of honesty and he's given me permission to tell this story. And he says, I've had a rubbish term. I said, why have you had a rubbish term? He said, because there's a couple of boys I've been really trying to help and they're the third generation that have always gone to prison and they've just gone to prison and they were in this school. And I like feel that I've just totally failed and I've achieved absolutely nothing. And he's got tears in his eyes. He's just full of compassion, that second song we had up there. Actually, we can pull it up if we can, but the second one on compassion was brilliant. We all need a lot of compassion. So I said, so what did you do? Did you go in there and bust him? Did you go in there and give him some correction? He said, no, 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 no. He said, I went and visited him, and I sat down, and I said to him, I can't remember his name. Let's say his name's Bert. Bert, I owe you a massive apology. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. And I owe you an apology. And I'm so sorry that you are here. And this guy breaks down and cries and says, no, 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 Mr. Denham, it's me that's let you down. It's me that's let you down. And he says, can I pray for you now in this cell? Can I pray for you now? No judgment. Just a bit of compassion. Just a bit of kindness. This man's school in 4 years, listen to this, in 4 years has gone from failing Ofsted to outstanding in 4 years. 1,000 kids. We're discussing metaphors. I said, give me a metaphor. He said, well, I've got this idea. He said, it's called snakes and ladders. I said, go on, give it to me. He said, it's like this. He goes, you got a choice. You kids, Cass, you could use this in your school. It's a great little game. So, kids, what are you going to do? Today, are you going to be a ladder and you're going to lift somebody up with truth, encouragement, support? Or are you going to be a snake and you're going to lie and you're going to drag them down? So is it snakes or ladders in your life? What is it? What game are you playing? Are we playing a snakes game or are we playing a ladders game? So we're embedding those images all across the school playground. So as the kids go around, they think, am I going to be a snake or am I going to be a ladder? Fusion. A few years ago, we only reached 100 churches, just partnering with churches and universities. In the last year, 300 churches have joined us. We're at 900 churches across the UK impacting universities. You can get excited if you like. It's the gospel, and it works. So off my talk. I don't care. I'm standing in the British Library, and this is what I've been learning. I've been learning about framing and crafting my story in such a way that anybody can get it. I'm just trying to find ways of framing and crafting my story in Jesus in such a way that it's just so contagious, it's just so attractive that something just happens in the spirit. And you can call it prophecy, you can call it all things, but I want you to know it's been flipping hard work. And I've sat and I've thought again and again about my story. I've sat and thought about what is there in my story that is the real Jesus incarnate bit, the bit that's really supernatural, the bit that nobody can deny that it's just Jesus. What is it in my story that's really that? What is there in your story that's the real Jesus bit? You see, we build this ridiculous divide in our minds. Where we go, wisdom, truth, being helpful, advice, administration, here. And then we go, healing, supernatural, up here. It's a load of rubbish. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, to some I give the gift of wisdom, to some I give the gift of administration, to some I give the gift of prophecy, to some I give the gift of healing. There is no divide. And they flow one from another. So as you operate in wisdom and the gift that God's given you, Paul, you will start operating in the supernatural. You'll start operating in the prophetic because you are prophetic. There is no divide. But we build these dividing constructs. But if we're going to really live like the hands and feet of Jesus, we've got to break down these divides in our heart. We've got to understand that the supernatural is no different to wisdom. It's all supernatural in God. Because you are carrying something. You are carrying the DNA of Jesus. And some of you just don't realize what you're carrying. What you're carrying is so much better than what's out there. There's so much wisdom in this room. There's so much grace in this room. There's so much compassion in this room. There's so much to give away. There's so much truth. There's so much understanding. We're rooted. We know who we are. We know we're loved, don't we? We know we're cared for, don't we? We know we're safe, don't we? We know where we're going, don't we? So what have we got to worry about? We've got a world out there that doesn't know any of those things. That's confused about sexuality, confused about its future, confused about its values. We know those things. What a thing to bring. I think it's incredible that I've been picked. Of all the millions of people, that I'm the one that he's picked. I just get blown away by that. I'm just his kid. I've just been picked. But I want a whole lot more to be picked. So I'm in the British Library. I'm supposed to be lecturing on brand. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I do an hour's presentation on brand. And what we do is we get them to a position where we want to get them to the essence of who their company is. And this has happened to me now so many times I've lost count. I then go into a one-to-one with each business leader. So these are people that are entrepreneurs that are starting businesses, okay? And I'm there to mentor them in brand and marketing strategy. Sandra does all the marketing strategy stuff. It's hilarious, you can imagine. So she's just great. She gives them all this content. It's absolutely brilliant. She does all that as well alongside me, and I do the one-to-one. So what happens to me every time is I try to go to content, but I never quite get there. So I say, so your essence. Let's talk about the essence of your company, shall we? Well, perhaps we should talk about the essence of you. Because you are your company. So let's talk about it a bit, shall we? So there's this guy. One guy, for instance. He says, well, I'm a furniture maker. I love furniture. And all this stuff comes piling out of him, you see. And he's a very cognitive guy, very much in his head, not in touch with his emotions, very private, very, very insular. So, you know, he must really love having a session with me. You know, absolute, totally different ends of the pole. So I said to him, I'm going to do something just to explain it to you, which is I'm just going to do something psychological to help you, and it's called breaking state, which means I'm going to change your position. So you're sitting at the table, and what I'd like you to do now, and if you don't like it, you don't have to do it, I'd like you to go and stand in the corner of the room. I'd like you to close your eyes. I'd like you to put your hands out to receive something. So he looks at me. But you see, in this situation, I'm supposed to be, quote, the expert. So he goes and he stands in the corner of the room and he closes his eyes and he puts his hands in this position to receive something. So I said, what are you receiving? And he said, I just realized I love the planet. I love the trees. I love the environment. And I love wood. And at which point tears start rolling down his cheeks. And he stands there crying in the corner of the British Library. And I said to him, I want you to understand this is why you've been placed on this planet. To defend it. And if you want to know more about how to defend the planet, I can speak to you about the best defender in the planet I know. But at this point in time, we'll just settle with you defending the planet, shall we? So let's talk about that. And let's be present with that. Now you just think about that and you be present with that. First step of a journey. Second step, introduce them to the defender of the planet. But build on what's in there already. Build on the fact that he's a defender of the planet. Not something else. Don't try and create and construct a thing that isn't him. Question. How many here are a parent or a grandfather or mother with two children, more than one? Stick your hand up. I'm going to lay a bet on this that I know I'm going to win. Keep your hands up really high. If both of your children are the same, please keep your hand up. Oh. Not one. So why do we preach the same gospel in the same way? What about think about a message that reaches and touches into each life, that is patterned around the destiny of that person's life, that is actually patterned around who they are and what they are? What about redeeming and taking what's already in there already? What about taking Richard Branson from forgiveness into the next step, which is knowing the giver of forgiveness? What about just taking where they are and moving them on a bit? What about just being hands and feet for them for a bit and just modelling them something about kindness? What about just taking an interest in their world and understanding their world and just climbing with them in their plane, with you in the plane with them, and then just releasing them into something new? What about that? What about realizing that we're not here to build a castle? Our theology in this church, and theology is really important, that's another vector. If we're not here to build a castle where you sit behind the castle and you defend the walls of the castle, which is what most churches do, what we're here to do is stick a flag on a hill and say, come and stand under that flag. And by the way, just to let you know, the flag might change. It might move. And we're not quite sure who's in, and we're not quite sure who's out, and we're not quite sure what we believe, but I tell you one thing, we know what it's like to stand under a flag of love, under a flag of compassion, under a flag of kindness, under a flag of forgiveness. We know what it's like to stand under a flag of salvation. So will you just come and stand under my flag with me? Well, will you? That's the hands and feet of Jesus, guys. I have a new PA. Her name is Faith. We all joked about it. She was off sick last week, and we all said I'd lost my faith. What do I find out about faith? Of course, I find out by faith in the end we're going for. I'll finish with this. We're going for this stuff together. We're working together, going from academy to academy, doing all this work together around the country. So we end up with quite a lot of time together in the car. So we start to talk. So I take her out for lunch and sit her down. I just say, you just don't realize what a remarkable person you are, do you? You've no idea. You've no idea how remarkable you are. So she looks at me. Bosses don't normally talk like this, because it means a pay rise, you know. And I just said, there's something on you of profound kindness. And I want to teach you how to grow in kindness while you're here. She looked at me. Next time I see her, I say to her, Faith, why do you keep doing yourself down? You're just such a beautiful, amazing woman. You carry such compassion. You are so caring. You're such a brilliant servant. Do you not realize that? I just keep doing it. Just keep dropping it in. Just keep dropping it in. Last Monday, we're going to see my friend David Miller, who runs an academy. 2,500 kids in his academy. 2,500. Biggest thing on the island of Sheppey. Our dream is to turn the culture of the island through this school. It's a depressed place. On the way back in the car, I said, tell me about your name. Why are you called Faith? And she says, I've been meaning to tell you this. I said, go on. She said, well, actually, she said, I came from a Christian home. My parents were both Christians. They were Sunday school teachers, and they separated and had a divorce. My father had a brain hemorrhage, but he lived. So when I was born, he called me Faith. I think God's on that girl. Kathy Stewart, would you stand up? Just stand up. Phil, you can stand with her. What you need to understand is this. You haven't just started a scanning centre for babies. You've started a birthing centre. That's what you started. and I see Alpha, Work Alpha, running in your place. That's what I see. And I see people like Jenny being touched by the gospel. That's what I see. And I see that you're a lighthouse in this community, and I see that you're here to do something that is quite extraordinary. And you're here to weave together intelligence, spirituality, well-thought-through concepts in business, and this tremendous kindness that just drips on you. It's just all over you. There's just this profound kindness on you. And you've been called to Marlowe to weave those things together, my girl. I need you to go away and think about that. And you need to call together some of the leaders in your place, and you need to start sharing your story. And you're going to find that they've been prepared all along. There's going to be—I just see people being prepared all along, ready to go. And Phil, in your place of work, this is what I see. Phil, I see in your place of work, and we've talked a lot about your business at the moment in recent weeks. I see that you're at an absolutely critical point in this time, and it's a time to be really like New Zealand rugby bold. Just go in there and hit them. Don't mess around. Just take that ball and run with it. And I just think there's some stuff that you're going to do in that business that is really going to shape it in this next day. And I just see you having conversations with people in your organization. I see them being touched by your love and by your kindness and by the gospel. That's what I see. Would you like to sit down? Paul, would you stand up? Wendy? For now, the season's been the workplace. Now the season is the community. You've had authority in the workplace. Now God's going to give you authority in the community. You sought to be in Christ in the workplace, but now he's going to stir some things in your heart about the community. You may have even been speaking about it already, but some issues to do with justice and the way this town has run, the way things happen in this town, and God is calling you into those arenas to do something and to bring something of Jesus. And you have a phenomenal gift of wisdom. And wisdom is what's going to make the way for you. And Wendy, this whole thing that's on you about going for the underdog, it's just brilliant, isn't it? It's all over, isn't it? This whole thing about going for the underdog is so amazing. And you need to think and meditate about that gift that Christ has placed you on, going for the underdog. And you need to ask yourself, where do I go for the underdog? Where do I go for the broken? Where do I go for the abused? Because there's genius in you around those people. You're always the one that reaches out. The number of times I've felt about somebody, they've just about done my head in, I've had enough of that person, and then you go the extra mile. And you care. And the compassion of Christ is carrying on you. It's all over you. It just drips off you. It drips off you. John Swan, stand up. Shut up, Astor de Baba. It's a time to draw a line under disappointment. It's just a time to draw a line under it. It's a time to draw a line under all those prophetic words that you've chased and you feel you haven't got. You just got to draw a line under them, John, or they'll have you. You just got to draw a line under them, or they're going to have you. But the Father's heart is on you. And it's time for you to start buddying, John. And this is true for many men in this congregation. If you're over 45 and you're a guy, particularly, would you stand? Over 45 and a guy, just stand. It's very, very simple. It's quite easy to work out. Look down, I'm a bloke. Yes, I'm over 45. It's not that complicated. I want to start with the men for a deliberate reason. And when you get into a receiving position, just hold your hands out for me in front of you. I want to say something to you men. So many of you carry such a depth of wisdom. So many of you carry such understandings around the gospel, around all we've been hearing about. So many of you carry so much stuff. My question is, who are you going to buddy in this community? Who are you going to go and mentor in this community? Who are you going to go and find in this community and get alongside and just be a buddy to? And who are you going to start just giving that away? Whether they're men at work or men in your community, there might be a guy in your pub, I don't know. But who are they and where are they? And I'm going to say that as you, I'm going to be bold and say that as you think about this and pray about this and reflect upon this, I promise you, names are going to start jumping into your hearts. I promise you that. Names are going to start jumping into your hearts. That's what I see. And I see you. I just see many, many young men coming out of you. That's what I see. And you can call it mentoring. You can call it what you like. I like to call it buddying. Just being a buddy to somebody. And this is what I want to say to you. Do not worry about the how and the what. Do not say, how can I do that or what can I say? But go straight to the why, which is, why am I doing this? And I'm doing this because I care. And when you go to the why and you keep going to the how and the what are flipping irrelevant. I don't worry about the how and the what. I don't think, can I do this? Can I prophesy? Can I lead? I don't worry about any of that stuff. I just go to the why. The why is, I have to love. So therefore, I'll go to love. And I'll take a risk. And I might be an idiot, but I'll take a risk. And I'll just go to the why. And just while you're praying, just close your eyes. And just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to drop names into your hearts right now. Perhaps it's a place of work. Perhaps it's an education. Perhaps it's down your street. Perhaps it's another musician that you know. But who are you going to buddy? Who are you going to talk to about forgiveness? Who are you going to talk to about grace and kindness and understanding? Who are you going to do those things to? Because they're there, guys. They're there. And they're waiting for people like you. Just to be there. Just receive it right now. Receive those names. If you'd like to sit down, that'd be great. Jesus. Just allow the Holy Spirit to rest on you. All of you, just rest on you. Some of us are more feeling based. We're kinetic. We get in touch with our feelings and our emotions, and we're wired more that way. And for those of us who are like that, church is a bit easier. Because church often is around these sort of contexts. Oh, I feel something. I get moved by the Spirit. I get touched by something. You hear what I'm saying? Or I see something. It's so easy for those that see and feel. I have a vision. I see something. I perceive something. And we've created a construct where it's easy for those kind of people operate in spiritual gifts. There's actually more in Scripture about wisdom than healing. There's more written about it, there's more books about it. The actual number of verses written in the Bible about healing are far less than those about wisdom. I don't feel great compassion for teenage children in inner cities. I don't feel great compassion, particularly, if I'm really, really honest, about the core vision of Oasis, of going in and touching teenagers. When I go to schools, I don't particularly like it. Hello? I've had to do some classroom work. Jill, I take my hat off to you. It's been a riot when I've done it. A wrong sort of a riot. I find it quite hard to connect. I find it quite hard to engage. I find it quite hard to know how to construct anything that seems at all meaningful. I don't know if any of you saw a program with James May last night where he was teaching kids how to do Airfix kits and they were as bored as anything. Basically, most of my sessions seem to be like that. So I don't feel this great deep compassion for the teenage generation of our nation at school. Well, I didn't. But do you know what happened? I saw somebody doing something that was so flipping good. I thought, I've got to get on the back of that. This boy's really onto something, when I met Steve. And so I decided, out of principle, that I would train myself to run workshops with teenagers. I decided, out of principle, that I would go and do certain things. I did a shed load of research. I did a shed load of training in psychology. I did all sorts of things just to get my skill base up so that I could actually do something reasonably proficient in that environment. I collected data. I did the analytical thing. I worked with my mind. I tried to work it out, understand it all. And guess what happened when I got in the classroom? Compassion came on me. So, everyone needs compassion. A love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Says, I allow mercy to fall on me. And I just allow mercy to fall on me and say, Father, I really am not the one to do this job. Just let some mercy fall on me, would you? I find that forgiveness comes. I find that the kindness of a Savior comes on me. And I find I become a hope for a nation. Rubbish and he's great. That's the gospel. So stop trying to be great. Just carry on being rubbish and let him use your rubbishness with a bit of mercy, a bit of compassion, a bit of kindness. Let's pray, shall we? I think the kids are coming in, aren't they? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's time to release some airplanes. For some of you at the moment, it's really hard to see the landscape you're in at the moment and to see how what I'm constructing will work in your landscape. So you're looking at your business or you're looking at your classroom or you're looking at wherever you're looking and you're saying, I don't really see what Alistair's saying. I can't really see where things are going to change. I have the privilege of having an amazing view of the back of my garden, which I spend many, many hours just sitting and looking at. I arrived at that view this morning, and it was an incredible crystal winter day sky. And the light on the far bank was just awesome, and the whole thing was just magical. It was beautiful. 10 minutes later, a cloud came over and it was as flat as a pancake. The landscape hadn't changed at all, but the light had gone. And it was a whole different view. And then the light, then it went again, and the light came again. And when the light came again, the magic came again. I'm going to pray that the light will come into your eyes, that you'll see the landscape with the light and not with the cloud. You'll see the situations where you just see the light and not the cloud. You just see the thing that God's doing and not the thing he's not doing. And it starts in your life. As I'm speaking, if for you there's a place where you know you've got to go and see it differently and bring some light or launch a plane, I'd just like you to stand because I'd just like to pray for you. friend that's standing, would you just like to go and stand next to them? That'd be great. Wisdom comes from the body, not just from the person at the front. And you may well have words or pictures or images you want to give to these people. When I'm with my non-Christian friends and I'm, quote, prophesying, and this is just a helpful tip you can use, I just say to them, I've got a word picture for you. It's a nice little phrase. Would you like to receive the word picture now? Well, I think God's got some word pictures for you guys now. Holy Spirit, come right now as we're praying in this room and lead these people in your destiny. Thank you, you've touched hearts today. Thank you, compassion has come afresh in this room today. I pray that they will not be so consumed by the how and the what, but they will go to the why. That it will be the why that consumes them. It'll be the love and the kindness, the gentleness, not trying to work out how to do it, but just bringing what they have. And I pray they'll be authentic to who they are, not try and reinvent themselves, but move out of exactly who they are. And that they will identify that unique mark, their crafted story, the story that is crafted about them, about their lives, that you have spent all of their history crafting so beautifully in their lives. And I pray they'll be aware of those crafted stories and that they'll, oh God, that they'll just bring them faith in this season. The faith will come. And that the stories will come, that story after story will come from this room of lives that have been changed by these that are standing. Amen.